Everyone, welcome to the Board of Public Works. I hope everybody had a great 4th of July holiday weekend. We had a terrific time at parades all over the state. The comptroller and I were out there getting some exercise.
Yeah.
You may have noticed when you came in this morning that the governor's reception room looked a little more ornate, and there's some beautiful new window treatments that are hanging over here on these windows. Doug Jones, the DGS superintendent of the Annapolis Public Buildings and Grounds, discovered these beautiful draperies sitting in a storage unit gathering dust. They were made a decade ago, back in 2007, and the Elaine Bachman and Catherine Rogers and folks at the archives really felt strongly that they should finally be installed here in the reception room. I think they look terrific. This is a place where we exercise fiscal responsibility, so we didn't want to spend a dime of taxpayers' money to put these drapes up. So two members of my senior leadership team actually donated the money to have them installed, and they insisted on remaining as anonymous donors, but I'm going to out them anyway and thank them. It's former Senators Marty Madden and Bobby Neal, both of whom I think are. Now, I believe that both those senators were here back for the first session in 1772. And they said that they remember window treatment similar to this back then when they first started serving. Is that right, Marty? Also joining us this morning are a couple of other special guests, a couple of good friends of mine. We have Sandy Brock and her husband, Senator Bill Brock, are in the front row here. Sandy was the original designer for these beautiful draperies. Gene Herman, who did the fabrication of them. They're all here this morning, so thank you very, very much. With these finally... They did a tremendous job, and it may be a decade late, but I think they look terrific, and I just want to thank everybody involved in making this happen. I think we classed up the joint a little bit.
Yeah.
So thank you very much. We're going to get moving. As you can notice, there's only two of us here this morning. We didn't do away with the treasurer permanently. She's just unable to join us this morning.
Yeah.
So we're going to move forward, and we may have some deadlocks. It might be 1-1.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to start out with giving the floor to my colleague, my good friend, the comptroller, for any opening remarks.
Thank you, Governor, and I really appreciate Senator Madden. I served with him for many years, and I introduced him unbeknownst to this announcement this morning to my staff as one of the finest elected officials I ever worked with. And, Senator, thank you for your generosity. And come on over to my office, will you? And Senator Brock, thank you for all your contributions to the United States of America. And God bless you. I'm delighted that you're here. Governor mentioned the 4th of July parade, so I was lucky enough in the Dundalk parade to be positioned directly behind Governor Hogan. And trust me, he had a very positive interaction with the public. And those of you that know Dundalk, well, it can sometimes be a little bracing for a Democrat to walk through the Dundalk parade because they're not bashful. But I think that the fact that Governor was ahead of me helped me out quite a bit. So thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was followed by Towson and Arbutus and Catonsville. It was a hot day, but it was great to see so many families line the parade routes and enjoy the various festivities and events in their communities. Particularly Catonsville was just jammed with people. And anyway, obviously they were painstakingly planned and executed by countless dedicated volunteers who are committed to making the 4th of July celebrations very special and enjoyable for their friends and neighbors. And also, it's something where we can recognize the active service members and veterans and their families. And the July 4th holiday is a great opportunity for us to give a pat on the back to the veterans. And boy, there were quite a few of them with World War II hats, Vietnam War hats, Korean War hats, and it was a pleasure for us to be able to greet them. So I give recognition to all the hardworking community leaders and volunteers who spent countless hours planning and raising funds every single year they do this to provide a meaningful and enjoyable experience for all Marylanders on our nation's birthday. These volunteers are unsung heroes who devote their time, energy, and talent without seeking any recognition or praise, but I think we can all agree that they deserve our gratitude for the contributions they make our communities. Governor, it's a privilege to be here with you, and maybe we can do something controversial here. Hey, if the treasurer is,
I don't know.
I'm trying to think of something.
Maybe we can rush something. Maybe by the end of the meeting, we'll come up with some ideas. But let's go ahead and get started with the Secretary's agenda. Secretary McDonald.
Good morning, Governor. Mr. Comptroller, we have 17 items on the Secretary's agenda this morning. We're prepared if you have any questions.
Well, I'm pleased to see several items here from the Maryland Department of the Environment. And I don't have questions, but I just wanted to touch on some of the great things that are happening here this morning. Just a few weeks ago, I was elected as chairman of the Chesapeake Bay Regional Commission, which is made up of five states and the District of Columbia. And we're proud to be leading the way in enhancing water quality and air quality and in protecting our environment and the Chesapeake Bay. Our administration has already invested $3 billion into the protection of the Chesapeake Bay, and we are fighting to protect $73 million in federal funding as well. But the items that we have on our agenda here this morning are we're hoping to approve a total of more than $90 million in additional new investments, state investments in water quality, including $46 million to Baltimore City for the enhanced nutrient removal project at the Back River Wastewater Treatment Plant, $17 million to Baltimore City for three overflow projects, three projects to reduce sewer overflows, $15 million to upgrade on-site septic systems with best-available nitrogen removal technology, and $4.7 million for wastewater treatment plants in 19 counties. And these investments are just a part of our continuing investment to protect the Chesapeake Bay and its tributaries. And so I want to thank the Department of Environment and strongly recommend approval of these projects. Any other questions on the Secretary's agenda?
No. Move approval.
Second. 2-0. I like the way it works. Now we're going to move on to the DNR real property agenda. We have Deputy Secretary Joanne Throw sitting in for Secretary Belton this morning. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Governor. Mr. Comptroller, good morning.
You?
I am sitting in for Secretary Belton. It's my first time in front of you, so thank you for this honor. We have four items on the agenda today, on the DNR agenda. I'm happy to answer any questions you have.
I don't have any questions.
Move approval.
Second, 2-0. There's no DBM agenda today.
Oh.
I think it's the first time in 2.5 years I've seen no DBM agenda. So you're getting off easy.
Thank you.
You guys just been goofing off, or...
No, we got
it. Joanne, holiday.
Happy New Year.
Okay, good. We'll move on to the university system. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. Joe Evans, representing the University System of Maryland. We have five items on the agenda. Here to answer any questions.
Questions?
Move approval.
Second. 2-0. Move on to information technology.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Governor.
Good morning,
man, it runs a lot smoother when the treasurer's not here.
Mike Leahy, Acting Secretary of the Department. We have four items on the agenda this morning, and we have folks here to answer your questions.
I bet you have questions on this.
I do have a couple of questions, and thank you very much for being here. Item three, IT.
Yes, sir.
So we're being asked to approve a request from the State Board of Elections to modify a contract with Election Systems and Software, adding 1.618 million to the first two-year renewal option, which runs through March 2019, at a total cost of $9,307,000. So, based on what you guys gave us as background, Ms. Lamone, thank you for being here, and seeing you in the news lately. So it's good to have you here. Based on our background information, this modification request appears to result from the Board of Elections miscalculating the number of hours needed to perform the necessary specialized services. When this contract was up for Board of Public Works approval, the estimated number of hours was set at 1,000 for the 2018 election cycle. According to this request, that number should have been 4,000 hours. How does that kind of mistake happen,
well,
1,000 to 4,000?
Hi, Linda Lamone, Administrator of Elections, for the record. When we did the RFP for this contract, we inserted, asked all the bidders to let us know the cost for 1,000 hours. And we did that because we wanted to be able to compare apples to apples among the different responses to the RFP. But when we did that, we didn't realize that once we accepted one of the bidders, that that became part of the contract, and we could not then just alter it from 1,000 hours to 4,000 hours without modifying the contract and coming before this board for approval. So it was our mistake in the way we drafted the RFP. It was not a miscalculation. We knew we needed more hours. We just were trying to be able to compare the responses to the RFP, as I said, apples to apples.
Okay, so just to prevent us in the future from signing on to things that have to have this kind of 400% increase, what can we do to avoid that?
Well, we're working with the procurement people to make sure that we have a better way of doing comparisons when we put out the RFPs that don't then result in the contract, which can't be modified after the fact except by your approval.
Okay, so we modified this contract by $525,000 in August of last year, and now we've got $500,000, that $500,000, plus $1.6 million today. Are you anticipating any additional modifications to this contract?
Yes, we do, for equipment. Some of the counties have come in and asked for additional equipment on it. Several of them are because the law mandates that they have additional early voting centers for next year's election, mm-hmm. your election. And then the Baltimore County request for additional scanners across the board.
Good. Let me just ask you about Baltimore County, since you brought it up, because I was up there at the election last time, and there were people just beside themselves, voters, coming out of the polls, saying that they obviously got in, they voted, and then they had an up to two-hour wait for the one scanner in each voting area, I guess, to reproduce Xerox their ballot. And they were... Those folks in Baltimore County were just beyond being upset.
Rightfully so.
And I got I think the governor got it too. The treasurer and I and everybody, I guess, received a letter from the Baltimore County House and Senate delegations requesting urgent financial assistance to prevent a recurrence in 2018 of the terrible problems that occurred in Baltimore County. So their senators and delegates are all concerned. I guess the question, I did bring this up in May, but you, I think, then told us that you were working with the local boards to make sure they have enough equipment, especially in Baltimore County. Why doesn't Baltimore County do what every other county does and have at a busy poll not one, but maybe two, three, or four scanners? And why do we have to get involved with their Xerox machines?
Well, it's the scanners, and that's what they're planning on doing, is adding additional scanners to have a minimum of two at each polling place. And the reason why we, you and I, and the state are involved is because by law, it's the state's contract that we have to procure the equipment under, and the state has to pay for half of it.
Okay, well, I have no problem with that, but why are we having to deal with this situation? Why isn't the administration up in Baltimore County doing what every other county does, which is assess and actually manage their voting areas so that, for example, when I went to the poll in Montgomery County, I think there were three scanners set up because somebody had looked at it and said, you know, we're not going to make our people go off the deep end. They're so outraged at having to wait in line for 2 hours after you vote, so to have your ballot counted, I think. So is there, it just seems to me to be a complete anomaly, and it's what tears apart people's confidence in local government, frankly. So I hope that there's a deadline for you to get this additional equipment worked out with Baltimore County. If I were in charge of Baltimore County, I'd right now pay entirely for the new scanners and apologize to the voters up there for what happened last time. But you told us last time it was all taken care of or going to be taken care of. Is it going to be taken care of this time, or are we going to now have, oh, we decided just to put one extra one? So we only had two, but we still had an hour wait.
As far as I know, Mr. Controller, the county is addressing the issue. At least that's what I've been told.
So there's no, you don't know why this particular county seems to be the one that had all the problems?
It was the county's judgment call before the election that one scanner would be enough. We offered additional equipment, and you, in fact, approved additional equipment for several of the other counties because they were concerned with a two-page ballot that it would take longer to scan the ballot, and so they wanted additional scanners. Baltimore County decided not to do that.
But now they realize.
Now they realize, yes.
And it's typical for the state to pay half the cost of those.
It's by law, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm happy to support whatever you think is necessary, but apparently there is some kind of disconnect up there between normal, rational administration and management and what's needed. So could you please get involved? And if all they're saying is, oh, we're going to go from one to two, for the most congested polls, that's not adequate at all.
Yes.
So just sticking up for the sanity of voters, I'd like to
I guess we'd like to
get
your
back.
Recommendation on what you believe is necessary there, and then the county's willing to pay half, and we get the other half paid for. Let's get them done so we don't have problems coming into the next election.
Governor, we're working on it.
Great.
So if I could, while you're here, Madam Secretary, I just wanted to make a comment on the so-called Presidential Commission on Election Integrity. I want to thank you, Ms. Lamone, for the way that you handled this request. My office reached out to you based on our serious concerns, but lots of people did. And I want to thank you for being responsible and helpful. I also want to thank you for referring the request to the Attorney General and for swiftly acting upon Mr. Frosch's sound legal opinion, if it was a legal opinion, that the request would violate Maryland law. I'm glad that Maryland, along with more than 40 other states, have decided not to comply with the Commission's request to use voter data for purposes. And, Governor, I'm very pleased that the Deputy Secretary of State has done the right thing, decided to step down from the Commission. I think that those kinds of commissions that have ulterior agendas go strike right at the heart of the integrity of our democratic process. And I don't think it has anything to do with partisan politics. I just think it's a, we have enough problems without questioning whether or not the ballot has integrity. And it does, thanks to you and your peers all around the country who handle these issues at the state level. So hats off to you and obviously Governor, and so I'll just leave it at that, because if I get going on the subject of what's going on in Washington, I might say something that's too I think it'll take a while, and but I think the whole resolution of this for Maryland has been excellent. I'm glad to see our taxpayer dollars are not being spent on something which obviously, there are people that are deceased who are on our voting poll rolls. That happens. Obviously, there are people who have lived in Maryland and registered to vote here and have moved to other states and might be on several states. But that is not a reason for waving some bloody shirt up there that there is somehow voter fraud. There isn't.
And I agree.
Thank you for following through on that, and maybe you could let us know at some point what all the other states are planning on doing.
I will certainly do that. I am obviously following it fairly closely, and thank you very much for your kind remarks. I appreciate them very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Governor.
Any other questions on information technology?
I have one on item four.
Secretary Fielder is here for one.
It's higher education. Good morning.
Good morning, Governor.
Mr. Fox.
Mr. Comptroller.
So we're being asked to approve a one-year contract with 4 one-year renewal options to Goldbridge Partners for maintenance and enhancement of the Maryland College Aid processing system for a total of just north of $1.1 million for the 5 years. I understand how complicated the financial aid process is. I'm the last person to get involved in interfering with people who have to wade through the forms in order to get their scholarships. My problem is that we are halfway through 2017, and we are within one contract of the single bid contracts that we approved last year. I believe we did 29 last year, and this is the 28th one this year. So I'm wondering if, Governor, we could approve this for 1 year and perhaps have the renewals suggest that you guys try to find a second bidder. And this has nothing really to do with you guys right now, but it has everything to do with us doing what the Governor and I have indicated is doable, which is significantly reduce the number of single bid contracts. I think they used to be up around 100. Now they're down to around 30, but I guess this will be number 29 or 28.
Is that going to cause any
let me address
problems?
First, to introduce Donna Thomas, who's our director
Good morning.
Of Office of Student Financial Assistance. What you see before you is a very specialized piece of software. This particular vendor has the same contract in a couple other states. When we first put the RFP together, it was circulated to eMarketplace to 459 vendors. We went back. We only got one bid, and that's the current contractor, the one that's before you. We then worked with DoIt to say, okay, what can we do to modify the contract to look to go back out and see if we can capture some more vendors. Captured might not be the best word, but solicit more input. We modified the contract. We even contacted the original people that that bid on the contract in 2007. They declined to bid. So we completed two RFPs. I concur with your idea. Let's look at it as a one-year contract and give us the capability and ability to actually study it further and see how we can broaden it, look for other refinements and see if we can capture or at least get some more bids from other companies.
Terrific. And if it's sole source, if it's some kind of proprietary or unique software, bring it back as a sole source. But these single bid contracts, I think we've got them by the throat here, and if we can just keep it down to around 30 a year, that would be a significant improvement from my first two terms here. So
I believe there's a motion on the floor by the comptroller to make it a one-year bid in the, without the options, and I'll second the motion.
Thank you.
And it's approved. Move to
good.
Nothing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Man, this is a smooth thing.
Yeah, no, this is...
We don't want to screw it up. It's anything bad.
How long is the treasurer going to be away? No, kidding.
Okay. Is there any, we have to do the balance of the
right,
agenda.
I would move approval.
Second, 2-0. Now we're going to move on to the Department of Transportation.
Good morning, Governor, Mr. Comptroller. I hope I can keep the flow here.
Not so fast.
For the record, I'm Pete Ron, Secretary of the Maryland Department of Transportation. MDOT has 3 items before you for your consideration and is withdrawing 2-M-OPT.
Great. I'd like to talk about my item number 3. I have a question that maybe if Jim White could come up to the podium. Jim, thank you for being here.
Good.
Thanks for joining us. First of all, Congratulations on your continued success at the port. Couldn't be more excited about it. It seems like we come to expect every month a record-breaking success. And, you know, now you really have set the bar high. You better not drop 1 month. We're going to be surprised. But last month, the port was named the fourth fastest-growing port in North America by the Journal of Commerce. And we had a record-setting year in 2016. I know we're breaking records in the first quarter and even ahead of where we were last year. So first quarter, 2.5 million tons of cargo. I think last year, first time in history, we hit 10 million tons. And I know you're poised for another tremendous year. So with the new expansion at Breezy Point, I think it's going to help continue to grow jobs and grow the productivity of the port. So I'm going to just stop buttering you up for a second. I'm gonna, like, just getting you warmed up here. But because I do have a question, on this item, you're seeking approval to add $4.8 million to a contract for operations and maintenance at the World Trade Center. And our backup materials say that when you exercise the second renewal of the option back in 2013, you stated that you believed that we had sufficient funds. And now we're saying we didn't recognize the need for this additional $4.8 million. So I'm just wondering, you know, what exactly was the call? How did this happen in your budgeting process? Was it just something you missed? Or did the cost really change that much? Or why is it $4.8 million more now than you thought it was going to be?
Governor, simply we took our eye off the ball there. The contract amount when we entered into the contract with Meridian was based over a five-year initial term and 2 3-year options for a total of 11 years. Here we are in year 10, and we're not going to overspend the contract. It's going to be about $43 million total spending over the 11 years. It was approved by the Board of Public Works for $53 million on a high end. I will say that the building is a challenge. It was built approximately 30-plus years ago. We've worked our way through some ADA challenges in outfitting the building. But this is one where we missed our marks on this one.
Mm-hmm. So it was just sort of an oversight? Or you know.
Yes, Governor.
Okay. All right. I don't have any other questions.
No, that's candid responses.
I like the honesty.
Very unusual. And
no, Jim, why? Hey, we screwed up.
Yeah. So, yeah. And wish more people would be straightforward like that. But, Jim, I want to compliment you also. Obviously, the governor appreciates what you're doing right now with the port. But I understand how complicated this is and how what a relationship-driven exercise managing the port is, these big international companies that are global and who we depend upon for our contracts. It's very difficult to negotiate with them. I think you do a terrific job based on your knowledge of the people. And, Mr. Secretary, thank you for overseeing the Port of Baltimore.
It's quite a chore.
Economic engine, along with the airport, it is, you know, those are two enormous catalysts. Yeah, and so hats off to your leadership, Mr. Secretary, and Governor Hogan. This is not easy because you can tamper with this and think you're doing something really good, and all of a sudden the port is headed in a different direction. So, Jim, thank you.
I would like to thank the board again for allowing us to move forward at Point Breeze. Based upon the accelerated growth we've seen since the opening of the new set of locks at the Panama Canal, for the last two quarters of our fiscal year, we were up 9.6%. All indications are that we're going to continue that aggressive growth, as you said, Governor. But if we weren't fortunate enough to move forward with Point Breeze, we probably would have been out of space based on 9-10% growth by 2023. Acquiring Point Breeze now allows us to continue to grow the port in our container business to 2030. So I would like to thank you again.
Well, and when we're still pushing the federal government pretty hard on joining in our public-private partnership to get the Howard Street Tunnel done so you can double-stack those trains, and that might add a little bit to your bottom line, too. So we're going to get that one done. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Any other questions on the Department of Transportation?
I hesitate to say this, but we're on track for a record short DPW meeting, so I would move approval.
I'll second it. 2-0, and now we're going to move on to Department of General Services.
Good morning, Governor.
Good morning.
Tom Crowley from Record and Nelson Riker, Deputy Secretary. Our department has 15 items on our agenda. We're withdrawing item 3M, OPT. I'm glad to answer any questions, and thank you for your kind words about Doug Jones.
Great. I don't have any questions.
Move approval.
Second. That concludes our Board of Public Works in record time. I love it. We're not going to blame this on the trip.
Yeah.
This slows down. That was pretty quick.